B-Pod Studios.
Video games.
Yes, you can!
Comic books.
Nothing is impossible.
Sci-fi.
Just
anime.
Do it!
If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
What are you waiting for?
This is Nerd Radio.
Make your dreams come true!
Welcome to this week's Nerd Radio, wherever you get your podcasts, as part of the B-Pod Studios Network, and of course on WRIF.com, and on your social media at Nerd Radio 101. Our second week in the Checkpoint XP Studios. My name is Chuck Bean, joined by James.
I went to Al. I cut to Al.
I'm so confused.
Now it's back to me. Usually Al goes first. So yeah. I was like,
Chuck zipped it around. No, this is a perfect start. It's a perfect start.
It is.
For what Nerd Radio has become.
And Al Beck.
Yeah, that's me.
Welcome to the show, Al.
And live on the Checkpoint XP Twitch stream.
Yes, yeah. This is our first week on the Checkpoint XP stream. Yeah. If you're listening to the podcast and you tune in now, you will not see us.
Yes, we won't be there.
We are, people are going to get to see a peek behind the curtain very much in the coming weeks here as we Twitch stream. We are on Wednesday afternoons, somewhere between like 11 and 2.
Yeah, somewhere around there, yeah.
Or 11 and 1. So if you want to see how it looks before I put all the fun stuff in,
yeah,
before DMX shows up.
Right.
Yeah, uncensored, unfiltered, raw. Oh,
right. God.
Raw dog nerd radio.
Raw dog nerd
raw
radio.
Raw dog, yeah, in the internet right now. Nerd radio style.
That is awful.
I think it's a perfect description of what's happening.
Yeah, actually see how little editing we actually... Well, like, Chuck puts bells whistles on it.
He right.
But as far as, like, the... You know, maybe we should cut that out and make it clean. No, it's all just, it's already pretty raw.
It is what it is, and that's what you get.
Yeah.
So, speaking of being in the Checkpoint XP studios, I feel the need to address the fact that last week's show almost didn't happen.
Yeah, we had a bunch
of... Oh, my God, yeah.
Because we had that recording problem with, yes, I brought in we're recording...
We talked about that, but it goes a little deeper than that even.
Right. Yeah. We record with a memory card now instead of recording into, like, a computer with iTunes and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the memory card I brought didn't have... It had stuff on it already, so there wasn't enough space.
Oh, Chuck's pornography. How much porn did you lose?
Al's got a pleasure pad. I just keep it on a memory stick.
Yeah. he's got a pleasure stick and a pleasure pad.
Yep.
That's right.
Come to my house, and I got just a whole...
Reel to reel.
Yeah, it's got old school porn.
Splice it.
So it recorded to the
push.
It recorded to the memory card, and the memory card had to... I had to wipe the memory card so we could record, mm-hmm, the other thing. Well, the first thing we recorded, which was most of the show, mm-hmm, got wiped. But I thought I had it up on my computer,
yeah,
on Adobe. Well, somewhere between Wednesday and me producing it Friday morning, my computer put some updates in and rebooted.
Ooh.
So that disappeared. And I'm sitting here Friday at like 1 in the morning going, I don't think there's going to be a Nerd Radio here. And then I remembered Nate, who joined us last week,
yeah,
from Checkpoint XP, said that they have a backup card in the second thing. I'm like, well, I'm going to check. I'm going to see if the backup card's in here at 1 in the morning. And it was on the backup card, so that's why we had a show last week, long story short.
Thank goodness for the backup card.
Yeah, no
kidding. If there's any better example of how untogether we are, yeah, as opposed to how together they are,
yeah, yeah,
that is it.
Yeah, well, as per usual, came in completely unprepared.
Right.
Which I am today as well. I've got nothing. Just so you guys know.
You've got something.
I have something. I have something we could talk about.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Oh, hey, look at that.
I do. He might already have it, though. So,
oh, okay.
We'll, yeah, see what he presents.
And I know that you have something because you told me about it already. It's just that you don't remember you have something. And that, once again, Al Beck, everybody.
So today we're taking a journey into Al Beck's memory.
Yes, exactly.
It's a short trip. I walked up the stairs like 10 minutes ago, and that's where my memory ends.
Yeah,
it's like
for
living
sure.
in a constant fugue state.
See, I drive
like
in.
Goldfish.
Yeah. I drive in the morning thinking, man, what are we going to talk about? Al thinks of it as he's walking into the room.
Yeah, well, actually, I usually think of it when you and I are doing shift change from,
yes,
midnight to morning, and then we talk about it, and then by the time Nerd Radio rolls around, I'm like, I don't remember. What the hell? So,
we're here, and it is, what a week when it comes to nerd stuff. Like, in the last 24 hours,
yeah, man,
three news stories broke. And I think
news story.
Oh, okay.
Let's start with the big one.
Sure.
Spider-Man.
Yep.
No longer a part of the MCU.
Yeah.
Mom and Dad are fighting, and Mom has decided to take custody of Spider-Man back. And by Mom, I mean Sony.
Yeah.
Has decided
Which
that.
Which is so dumb.
I guess from what I was reading, falls somewhere between Kevin Feige, who is kind of the
so that's how you say his name.
Yes, the guy behind the scenes that, you know, makes the big decisions about the whole Marvel movie
thing.
I thought
it was Kevin Feige.
Feige, yeah, Kevin Feige. He's the first story I read is that he has too much on his plate now with them getting X-Men and Fantastic Four, so he was not going to work on the Spider-Man movies anymore. And then the other thing I'd read, which I think was on Deadline, is that Disney wanted a 50-50 split going forward.
Which I think seems fair.
Right.
You know, they're already putting up most of the money, I believe, for the production, the movies, and doing the casting. They're doing all the work. And Sony's just reaping the benefits of owning the
instead of like
the license or whatever to have the movie rights to Spider-Man.
And I wonder what the ratio of money made by the two, just forget about his appearances in the Avengers movie, just the two Spider-Man standalone movies.
Right.
I wonder what the ratio in money made with the Marvel Cinematic Universe movies versus the ones that Sony put out.
Right.
You're talking Tobey Maguire.
Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield.
Well, yeah, because that's the thing, too. Like, Sony did make Venom, which I guess Kevin Feige had a hand in as well, kind of behind the scenes secretly, which I didn't know about. And then they made the Spider-Verse movie.
He had a hand in it secretly behind the scenes.
He had a hand behind the scenes.
See, we were talking about this morning, and I was wondering about the Into of the Spider-Verse, the animated movie.
Right.
Was,
and I don't,
was that a Sony property?
That was strictly a Sony property. Okay. But I think we can all agree that as much as I love that movie, it would not have made the money it made and gotten the notoriety it had if we hadn't had Tom Holland and Marvel regenerate
absolutely, 100%.
What Spider-Man is.
Which is probably what Sony's banking on. Like, now that Disney's gone and sort of reboot the character and made him cool again.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm in the minority. I don't mind the Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield stuff.
I like Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And I thought Tobey Maguire was really good as Peter Parker.
Yeah, I thought they had their charms, those movies. I don't necessarily think... I mean, most people hate them, especially the Tobey Maguire ones. I don't hate them. So I'm fine. I got a soft place for Spider-Man.
I was fine until Tobey Maguire got all emo. tried to bring
Spider-Man
Venom
3.
Into that one. Yeah, I was like, what the hell are you doing?
Foreman's there
doing
for
the
some
weird
reason.
Dance. Yeah. Like, what the heck is all the dancing? And
which you
totally miscast Eddie Brock.
Yep.
Eddie Brock is like a little pipsqueak.
Foreman from that 70s show.
Yeah. Dumbass. He's dumbass. You know? As Eddie Brock.
He's
Venom.
Dumbass.
Sometimes I feel like I'm dumbass.
Well,
I am a dumbass.
Yeah.
You're in good company.
Yeah,
Dumas.
Exactly.
It's Dumas.
Dumas. Yeah, exactly. It's French. But, you know, I'm. It's going to crack me up when we get to the next Spider-Man movie, when Tom Holland is still Spider-Man, and when the director, whose name escapes me at the moment, is still directing the movie, but it's not part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It's going to crack me up how many people are like, well, I'm not going to see it. It doesn't count. So I'm not going to bother. Even like it's probably still going to be really good. Most of the people who worked on the last bunch.
True.
I would probably still go check it out.
I'll still go check it out. I'm not, you know.
Right. But there's going to be a segment of the fandom that's going to be so ingrained. That it's like, well, I'm not going to go.
But it will be very interesting to see the difference in money when they finally do one that's all Sony.
Right.
Because they are, like you were, I already forgot which one of you said it. Maybe James said that they did all the legwork and put all the money into it.
Disney. Al.
What's that?
Hello, Goldfish Al.
Who are you people?
Somebody feed Al. He needs some brain flakes.
Wow, that's really pretty rock.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's really pretty rock.
Yeah, we're in the studio with the windows open, too, and he's probably going to see a squirrel, there's a bird.
The studio we used to do this in has no windows at all. It's basically a storm bunker. Shelter.
Yeah.
And now we've got windows, and there is actually a painting of a cat.
A beautiful painting of a cat that the people on Twitch cannot see because our Rift banner is in front of it. Yeah. I feel a little bit bad about that.
Yeah, you're blocking the cat. I think that's Nate's cat we're blocking.
That's Joe told me to put it there, so I was like, you sure you want to block the cat? So, yeah, the Spider-Man news is a big deal. And then I should have set a stopwatch because I don't know how long we've been talking at this point. But the other news that I saw last night is that the Matrix is coming back. They're making a fourth Matrix. Carrie Ann Moss and Keanu Reeves are on board. And one of the Wachowskis is working to write and direct it.
Which I find confusing because we talked about this a little bit this morning on the Dave and Chuck the Freak Show. But if you've seen the Matrix movies, how are they doing this? Like, somehow somebody else is going to get in the Matrix or reprogram and take us in the past, or...
Well, the way the spoilers for the Matrix.
Wait! I was going to watch it this weekend.
The way it ended was that the machines and the humans were actually going to try and work together again at the very end. So now you're going to be dealing with...
I must have missed that part.
You're going to be dealing with a society where, like, the Matrix probably still exists, and there's probably still people in the Matrix, but then there's people on the outside, too, and they're going to be trying to... You've got this... They've been at war for so many years, so you're going to have the machines and the humans still...
The machines are tired. They need a break. They need peace.
Right. Well, there's still going to be fight. It's a little bit like my Transformers comics. The last, like, 5 years or something like that, they finally went with, okay, the Autobots and Decepticons have been fighting for millions of years. What if somebody won? What if the war was over? How does everybody that survives deal with that? And that was, for somebody that's been a Transformers fan for 30-something years, that was something I was interested in.
I don't want to shock you, but I don't remember how the Matrix ended. So you really did almost spoil it for me, but I don't care. Honestly, that news didn't affect me at all.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I was blown away by the first Matrix movie.
Yeah.
And, again, I can't remember who it was in the morning show, but somebody had mentioned, like, I remember, it might have been Andy, said, I remember the first movie. Like, I got great memories of it. But then, I know I watched the second and third one. I don't remember which order they go in. I don't remember a single thing about them.
Right.
The only thing I remember from the second one is the battle on the freeway.
On the truck. Yeah.
Like, that's really the only thing that I remember from the second one.
And there was still some cool action sequences. And I'd say the ending, too, with the architect is kind of fun. But the third one is definitely where people were like, well, this isn't the movie I wanted to come and see.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. The third one, I was like, well, this is a turd, man. This is
right.
A big turd and a big, expensive, fancy toilet bowl turd. Okay? Like, wow. Bad.
I love a fantasy toilet bowl. Yeah.
You should live in my head.
I love that Keanu is coming back for Bill and Ted. Now he's coming back for The Matrix. Like, I think a Point Break sequel is on the way.
You got me. You got me in a Point Break sequel. Yes. Or I'm all in. Maybe they have different presidents' masks, though, like Bill Clinton. You know, you can get like a Ross Perot mask.
Gotta have a Trump mask at that point.
Trump, yes, yeah. A Trump mask.
Exactly. And, you know, at this point, what other Keanu movies can we get? Let's do another Speed.
I don't know if I want to
Speed,
do another Speed.
Speed 20 years later.
Even Keanu Reeves was like, I don't know about that second one. I don't think I'm going to do this again. I think that was before he was actually enjoying some success.
Right. Before we take a break, too, I wanted to mention to you guys, are either of you guys big James Bond fans?
I am a James Bond fan.
Yeah. Did you see that the 25th James Bond movie is now Daniel Craig's returning, and they've got a title for it?
Yeah, I did hear that there was a title.
Yeah, you only die 17 times or something?
Yeah.
Or you got to run from death?
It's no time.
You got to run from death.
It's always death and something right. About avoiding it or meeting
James
it.
Bond, this summer, you got to run from death.
That's holding hands with death.
That's why I wanted to bring it up, because the title is really silly. It's called No Time to Die.
Yeah, No Time to Die. Who's got time to die?
James
Nobody
Bond.
Has time to die.
James
Come on.
Bond has.
It's No Time to Die.
Say James Bond has no time to die.
James Bond has no time to die.
Actually, you have a really good like movie trailer voice.
It
Al.
Is fantastic.
You need to venture down the road of doing movie trailers.
It'd be wonderful, except I can't read. So
we'll have somebody feed you
somebody
the lines.
Just feeding you lines.
Like Chuck just did. Yeah.
Right.
What else?
It sounds like a Lucas Lee movie. Which is the character that Chris Evans played in Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, okay.
As soon as I saw it, the first thing I said, Lucas Lee has no time to die.
Well, coming up on Nerd Radio, we have no idea because we are unprepared.
No time to prep.
No time to prep.
Nerd Radio has no time to prep.
Here to waste your time. Another segment of Nerd Radio coming up next. Follow us at Nerd Radio 101.
It's actually hilarious.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Nerd Radio.
He's like a person and a horse.
Okay, and we're back with some Nerd Radio after about, what, like 15 minutes of nothing?
15 minutes on the of Twitch stream. Yeah.
It's Chuck B, Al Beck, and James here with you in the Checkpoint XP studios again. Mm-hmm. I don't think I will ever get over how fancy these studios are. Like, those lights are super professional. I've got a GoPro just I'm staring dead into right now. They put our logo up behind James. It's amazing.
Yes. Oh, hey, whoa.
DMX still shows up.
Fancy.
But it's amazing. It's great to me. Yeah. Speaking of DMX,
I'm glad that James is over there, the director of Twitch, because
you couldn't handle that.
No, I don't think I could handle it. I mean, I will say it would be like the greatest like weight loss program for me, because nothing like being on camera. Like, oh my God, do you love some pizza? It's a problem.
How do you think I felt when we started the Peep Show?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm still now just starting to get into the mode where I put product in my hair so I don't look like some sort of weird mad scientist rolled in to do a morning radio program.
Are you pointing at me? He said mad scientist, and out of my peripheral vision, he pointed at me. What does my hair look like?
I think, Chuck, you have fantastic hair.
I tried. I really did. I shaved. I was like, people are going to be staring at me tomorrow.
I wore a hat.
James wore a hat. Yeah,
I always wear a hat.
It might be a full hat crew going forward. Well, just out of worry.
Twitch viewers will quickly notice that I will be in a black T-shirt every single week.
Every time.
And speaking of which, let's mention, if you want to watch the Nerd Radio podcast get recorded Wednesday usually between 11 and 2, we'll be in the Checkpoint XP studios.
Yep.
So you can tune in, maybe go follow their channel, so that way you get notified when the show goes live. But you can actually tune in and watch this actually be recorded live on Twitch. You can go to the channel, twitch.tv/checkpointxp.
Slightly more exciting.
Slightly.
There's bonus features.
There a little bit, yeah. But, you know, you'll get to see when you listen to the podcast what makes the podcast and what doesn't, which is kind of fun. So,
do they archive their videos? Because should not archive any.
Don't say, don't archive this. For God's sakes.
Well, they're going to send us the video so we can decide if
we can decide what to archive and what not to.
All right.
I wanted to say, speaking of DMX, Sunday night, I pull up my Twitter just to post that, like, hey, I'm on the air at midnight kind of thing. And I see there's a hashtag DMX challenge going on.
Oh, yeah. I know all about this.
Do you?
I know nothing about it.
So I'm like, DMX challenge? What is going on here? Something like that. People are taking.
It's lame. I think it's lame.
Yeah,
it's
people are taking
challenge.
Videos. There's a song he does called What These Bitches Want. And he just names off these ladies and people. And
it's a list of ladies.
It's literally DMX's version of the Mambo Number 5.
Yeah.
That's all the song is.
It really
is. DMX's Mambo Number 5. Samantha and Jessica and Aretha.
Mambo Number X.
Quanifa and whoever
and it was
else.
Just, it, right. was, it was just girls like, you know, doing their hair different and their makeup different and putting on a wig or something like that and being the different girls or something like that. I'm like, that's it? That's a DMX? I was hoping there was one guy that said that when he opened the DMX challenge, he was hoping that it was somebody like people just yelling, doing their best DMX impression. And he had a really good one.
Like, my girlfriend yesterday night, she's like, you should probably do the DMX challenge. I'm like, what is the DMX challenge? And she's like, watch this, and just holds up the phone with a video, and it's just DMX rattling off all these female names and just a different picture. And I was like, that's what you want me to do? I'm like, you know, I will run around with my wiener out in public, and you think I should just make a photo slideshow?
It's true.
To a DMX song.
Right.
Come on, lamest challenge I've ever heard.
Dude, I mean, you already lose me at internet challenge. Like, I'll never know.
Al didn't do the ice bucket challenge.
I did do that. It's the right. only one I've ever done.
Because that was fun. It was cold, but it was the middle of summer, like jumping some ice.
And the point of it was to, you know, raise money and or awareness for a disease. And so, like, I got by, and it was the first time I'd ever heard of an internet challenge at that point.
Right.
So, yeah, I did that one, and then after that,
internet challenge cherry that day.
It did.
A bucket of ice cold water.
It did, and it didn't feel good.
Well, see, I thought it was fine. Like I said, it was the middle of summer. I went out in the backyard and just boosh, and it was really cold, but it felt good.
Yeah, and I gave a speech. It gave me a chance to get up on a soapbox, which is what this podcast is now for. This fills that void.
It's true.
For the internet. This is my internet challenge.
Yeah.
Go be an a-hole on the internet, now with video.
This podcast is Al's cold water challenge or whatever, ice bucket challenge.
Ice bucket challenge.
Cold water challenge. Ah, cooling off the ladies since 1986.
What people don't,
the Al Beck cold bucket challenge.
What people don't realize is that under the desk we each have our feet in bottle or in buckets of ice water.
Is that what that is?
Well, I do. Mm. It helps keep me awake.
I actually have warm milk in my.
That's that. What
warm
that's
milk.
Like.
Yep.
Once again, we're going to get about 2 or 3 weeks
got,
out of this.
And
they're
going to
be like, "You're making the studio smell like warm milk.
Yeah.
We can't have you doing that, man." So
there's just one reason or another we're getting kicked out of here.
James, I know you're a huge Kevin Smith fan. Did you see over the weekend?
Masters of the Universe!
Yeah.
Yes!
I've never been more excited about He-Man except for when I saw that they did a crossover comic with Thundercats. And
right.
I didn't realize they only put out 6 issues of it, so now I've got to track down 1 through 4.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure there's a trade of it, just like the Ninja Turtles crossovers.
Oh, that'd be even easier if I could just find the trade. That'd be perfect to have the trade. That one.
Were you a He-Man fan originally? Or is it
you know what? Not really.
No.
Like, I had a couple of the action figures, but I was, in that time, the cartoons I was watching was always real Ghostbusters.
I'm looking at you, and I'm not looking at Al, because I know He-Man is way well before your time.
Yeah, I mean, well,
he's still on MASH.
Yeah, still on MASH. Yeah, that's so funny. Before my time.
It's
my
before
favorite...
your time, but you liked, you know, like movies and TV shows from like the decade earlier.
Right. And much earlier. Like, right. I love the Marx Brothers. So yes. You want to talk, they're bringing back something from the 1930s.
How would you remember they did that? They did that Three Stooges movie? With new actors and stuff like that. How would you feel if they did, like, if they recast a whole bunch of people as the Marx Brothers?
It would be interesting to see.
Yeah, you would be interested. You wouldn't just be like, this is going to suck.
Well, I would watch it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would be any good or not, but yeah, no, I mean, I would. Like, are you talking about remaking a Marx Brothers movie or doing like.
Let's do a new Marx Brothers movie with new characters done up in makeup to look
okay,
like
so
Chico.
It's not a biopic. This is like a Day at the Races with new actors.
Sure. Yeah, like, well, no, because I've
seen a movie none of us have probably ever seen.
No, I'm not even thinking, like, let's take an old Marx Brothers movie and make it now with new actors. I'm thinking, like, what if we just wrote a new Marx Brothers movie and then got a bunch of new actors to be the Marx Brothers?
Who would you cast as the Marx Brothers? Who would be Groucho? Oh, I just cut to an empty...
That's the DMX chair. Nobody swore, so he's not there
yet.
You
know what, though? That's a perfect cut, because you cut to what was going on in my brain. Just emptiness.
Actually, I think that'd be perfect. So when Al's just kind of speechless, I'm just going to cut.
To nothing.
To nothing. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of that.
There's Al's brain right there.
No, you ask me a direct question, just cut to the empty chair.
The empty chair.
Because I got nothing. No, I have always been so bad at the who would you cast this role. I'm so bad at it. Like, we tried doing that on the morning show for, I think it was when... Was it before Robert Pattinson was announced as the new Batman? And they were asking...
It's Batman stuff. They wanted to know, oh, I just wait till we'll be right back. Whoops, okay. We're still here, Twitch.
What a disaster.
Oh, man.
We're having a good time, man. Yeah.
Well, we promise the podcast isn't going anywhere. This may be our only time on Twitch.
But boy, oh boy, did we have a good time.
Right.
But yeah, back to what you were saying. We were trying to figure out who would be cast as Batman, because we all hated Robert Pattinson being cast in that role.
The whole show's kicking around ideas. Everyone's got somebody. And then they're like, you know, Al will know. And then they put me on the air. Who would you cast as? I don't know. They're like, well, thanks for nothing. And they just shut my mic off. Go down there and count something.
That's great.
Yeah.
What it call comes back to is Masters of the Universe is She-Ra.
Oh, that's right.
She-Ra has been has got its second season on Netflix. It's been a huge success for Netflix.
It?
Yeah,
I cut out Netflix because I felt like I was getting overcharged.
As a kid, I don't know if I've told you guys this story before, but I know that I've told the story on the show. I wasn't allowed to watch Masters of the Universe.
You're kidding me.
My parents were going through a very religious phase when Masters of the Universe was a thing. There were wizards and warlocks
and Skeletor
stuff. So okay. I was not allowed. I had a friend that had all the Masters of the Universe stuff, I'd go over his house and, you know, play with the figures because they were cool.
No, Mom, I don't like He-Man. He's a heretic.
Right, exactly. But no, then he had Castle Grayskull and he had a couple of these things. There was this like skeleton of a dragon that you would put the figures in. It was just essentially a figure hole. Like, you know, Star Wars had the Chewbacca's bandolier and you could stick the figures in it, but then it was kind of a cool thing too. Yeah, it was this like weird skeleton. It had the head and then the spine and then the rib cage would like go out and then you could put them by the waist inside the skeleton.
No wonder your parents didn't want you playing with these toys, because that sounds scary.
He-Man was kind of scary, man. But yeah, I wasn't
watching. Beast Man, one of his enemies was Beast Man, right?
There was Beast Man.
He was orange. He was like a ginger beast.
There was Skunkor.
Skunkor?
There was a figure that was that had like it just smelled bad.
Who was the little wizard guy?
Orko.
Orko, okay.
It's funny that I remember all these things.
It all sound like Exterminator
it
companies.
Does, especially Orko.
I never saw any of that.
No.
That was not a part of my childhood at all. But I did go through a very similar thing
with the
religious
where your parents
thing,
wouldn't let you what did they exclude from you?
Oh, just anything that was magical.
Or, yeah.
You know, like, yeah, as we had to excuse ourselves from the elementary school plays.
Because and he loves MASH.
That's why. Yeah,
no wizards, but hey, Vietnam War, you're good.
Yeah, Korea.
They didn't.
Korea? Whatever, I don't know.
North Korea is a magical place.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
But so they didn't exclude you from Harry Potter. You were growing up
and
enough by the time.
That's the funny thing, too, is because my mother is now, I mean, we're talking, she's changed a lot from my, I mean, even throughout my childhood. She was, you know. But she got really into Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And we were sitting around the table one day, and we were talking about, because I also like Harry Potter. So we were talking a little bit about it, and we just kind of stopped. And it's like,
yeah, you're a big pothead, right?
That's right. I'm a big pothead. I was like, I'm a 12-year-old child. I was like, you know, Mom, when we were kids, she's like, I know. I'm like, if Harry Potter, I know! She knew. There was no way she would have allowed us or read it herself, but, you know, she's aware.
Well,
we also weren't allowed to watch Ninja Turtles, which is why I have...
What?
What? No Ninja Turtles? This one, that was a little bit different, though. And I still, to this day, I
Cowabunga, dude.
I know. I watched a couple episodes because we would sneak it, but my brother and I were not allowed because we hit each other.
Yeah, I thought that's where this was going.
That was where it was going, but I'm sitting there going like, well, we still beat the crap out of each other. The only difference was we weren't calling each other by Renaissance-era painters' names.
Yeah.
Like, you're doing us a disservice for our education.
Mom's like, no Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but hey, WWE, all good.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Like, typically wrestling is the thing that goes
I did
for kids because, yeah, like, well, no, I don't want you to pile driving your brother.
James and I are laughing at the same thing. Write that note down.
I don't want you to give your brother a power bomb onto the bed and he comes bouncing off and breaks a window or something like that. Yeah, I know it sounded dirty. I get it.
I'm just writing down the note. I don't want you pile driving your brother.
Don't you dare pile drive your brother. I saw that on Burning Angel's website.
Well, speaking of...
Let me spin the timer back around.
All right, thanks.
There you go. There's some business.
Speaking of Harry Potter, I saw this on comicbookresources.com over the weekend. I knew I had to bring it up because recently somebody, an auction site, sold the collection of the Harry Potter books. All hardcover, all first edition, the first four signed by J.K. Rowling. Give me a guess.
Oh, I don't even have a guess. Is it like the original, like...
2 million? Mm-mm. You're a little low.
A little low? 2 million? How many books?
No. I'm sorry. There's too many zeros in here. You are high. At 2 million.
Well, that's par for the course for me.
James is too high.
Right.
British pounds are going with this?
No, I think this is an American. If it's not, then the news story actually translated it into American dollars.
Al wants the money translation.
I was just curious because my question, well, we can do this first. I don't know. So I'll hit him with $1. I'm going to Price Is Right him.
$1? You get $1?
I win automatically.
Yeah, you are closer at $1.
Without going over.
Right. $26,250 for 7 hardcover books, 4 of which signed by J.K. Rowling.
So they traded it in for a Chevy Cruze.
Yeah, essentially.
Not a bad trade. A couple of books. Probably a lot of work to get them signed. But you get a Chevy Cruze out of the deal, I'm in.
Yeah. So
I wonder if it was the original UK version, though, because like I think the...
That's a good question. No, it says first American edition printings. Okay. Of
that's why I was asking about British pounds, because I feel like that would actually be more valuable, because I think the Sorcerer's Stone was originally the Philosopher's Stone.
Mm-hmm. The first four, once again, signed by J.K. Rowling, the American edition printings of
Harry
Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, Chamber of Secrets.
What, they think us in America can't be a philosopher? What's the deal with that?
That's a big word, man. I don't...
I know.
I don't even know if I'm using it correctly.
But, yeah, no, I believe, I'm not even 100%, but there's very subtle differences, I think.
Yeah.
You know, because she's British, J.K. Rowling.
What?
What? Anyway.
Even I know that.
And,
you know, I quit. This is also my last.
Oh, no.
Well, I mean, you know, like, whoever Longbottom was, whatever.
Right, exactly.
Edward Pattinson's character, Willie Wetbottom, whatever his name was.
So. Like Willie Wetbottom.
Al's portion of the show.
Neville Longbottom.
He's going to be diminished. He's only going to come in when we have Harry Potter news. So, all right, let's take a break, and we'll come back with a little bit more Nerd Radio. You and you on Twitch, you're going to stick with us, but if you're listening to the podcast,
we hope.
We're going to be back in just a minute. As always, I encourage you guys to rate and review us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you're getting our podcast, and, you know, hit us up on social media at Nerd Radio 101.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Nerd Radio.
It's cool. I'm taking it back.
What are you, nuts?
I'm taking it back. You watch.
Welcome back to Nerd Radio on the podcast page at WRAF.com and, of course, on your social media at Nerd Radio 101. My name is Chuck Bean, and I have the pleasure right now of being on the phone with professional wrestler Leah Vaughn, who is going to be at the Shine 60 event, which is happening here in Livonia, Michigan. Not in Detroit, but in Livonia this weekend. Leah, how are you this afternoon?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. It's great to talk to you. It's great. It's always fascinating to me to talk to any wrestler, but especially the wrestlers who aren't, you know, in that upper echelon quite yet of the WWE or even these days the AEW. And that's one of the reasons I was very interested in talking to you, is because the wrestling landscape is so much different in 2019 than it was, you know, even a couple of years ago. How does it look from the inside to you?
Yeah, so in 2017, I ended up taking a break just to have a baby. And it seemed like right when I took that break, all of a sudden the landscape was changing like crazy. There are so many more opportunities for independent wrestlers. Whereas before, when I started in 2011, there was not really, besides WWE, you couldn't really make a living wrestling. But now on the independents, there's so many people able to make a living and wrestle exclusively, which is awesome to see. It's a great change, I think, to have more of a product that you can choose from as well.
Yeah, a lot more opportunities for the wrestlers as well as the fans. Now, you're going to be here with Shine Wrestling. Tell our listeners who are, you know, only know of, like, you know, the WWE and maybe the Impact Wrestling product, what is Shine Wrestling?
So Shine Wrestling is an all-female promotion, and it was based out of Florida, and now they sort of have expanded to Michigan, and they have some shows in New York as well. So it's pretty much been my home. They are the ones who really took a chance on me when no one else would. So for it to be in Michigan, in Livonia, and my home promotion, it's really awesome because it's close to home. I've wrestled all over Michigan, and to have those two things together, that's pretty awesome. So Shine is definitely, it's very interactive. It's not like watching it on TV at all. You really should come out and enjoy a live show.
Absolutely. And this is happening this Saturday at the Knights of, is it the Mohegan Knights of Columbus Hall?
Yes.
Out in Livonia, Michigan. You can actually go to WWNLive.com. And check out the event information there. It looks like tickets going from $20 to $40. Real, you can get good seats.
Yeah.
For, you know.
You'll be up and close. You might even get spat on. Who knows?
Yeah, you never know. Independent wrestling is always a fantastic thing. I enjoy going to the independent wrestling shows more than going to, like, the big WWE shows, because you're so close and because it's fascinating to see how much the wrestlers, especially in the independent scene, you guys have to improvise not only the way you're wrestling in the ring, but sometimes somebody, you can hear everybody talking. So somebody will shout something, and some of the best moments will come from somebody in the ring who's just real fast, real clever.
Oh, yeah. I definitely get shouted at all the time. When you're the guy, you hear everything, and some things you do not want to hear, but
I'm sure.
Yeah, you get that interaction, right? So a fan might heckle you. You can heckle them back. You might be face to face with a wrestler. You never know.
So right.
It's a lot of fun. You're not going to see that at a WWE show. They're not going to be, you know, heckling you back. But if you go to an independent show, it's very possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. Now, there's a lot of talent on this roster that, if you are a fan of wrestling, there are girls here that you have seen. I noticed both Brandi Lauren and Shotzi Blackheart are going to be there, and they just had a barn burner at the last AEW event. You guys also have Allison Kay and Mercedes Martinez both in the main event, and both of them have worked in Impact Wrestling and were part of the Mae Young Classic these last couple of years. Do you, is there tears even in Shine where like girls who have tasted you know the bigger the larger promotions and then come back, or is everybody get along?
Oh no, I think everybody gets along. We have a pretty great group of girls, especially at Shine, very supportive of one another. You know, you want to see those people succeed because you were on the independent scene with them. So when one of your own succeeds and makes it to the next level, there's no, you know, hard feelings or anything. We want to see that. That's everybody's goal. Sure, you'll get the odd ones who are jealous, but I feel like we're a pretty solid bunch of women.
Right. And I'm sure there's a professional jealousy, but it shines well, pardon the pun, on you guys when you work with somebody who makes it up to, say, NXT or to the AEW, because you have worked with them. You both have grown together. So if they're that good, that means you've got to be close, if not exactly as good.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, you know, seeing those girls make it, it makes it more of a reality for me as well. You know, if I see like Cherry Bomb, she went to AEW. She was my trainer. So for when I very, very first started. So seeing her make it there, yeah, she trained me. Maybe one day I'll be there and we can have our match again, you know?
Right. Heck
so it's
yeah.
Just, it's very, it's motivating almost too, to see that.
So this Saturday you're going to be fighting Lindsay Snow, and I looked her up. I found a picture. That's a scary looking lady, man. What are you going to do? She's got some guns on her. She's covered in tattoos.
Yeah, but she's like 5'2". So,
okay.
You know, I'm not super scared of her. Yeah, she looks a little intimidating, but she hasn't met me. I'm not afraid to take shortcuts if I need to.
All right.
Pull her hair. Give her a fish hook, whatever, I'll do it.
Excellent, excellent. So you said you had to take a short break to have your, is it your first child?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. When did you start? Tell us a little bit about your career and your beginnings.
So I started in 2011, and I was sort of, I was training, but only like here and there because it's quite far from my house. And then there was an essay contest where Hall of Famer Edge was the judge, and you had to write an essay about why you loved wrestling. So I did that. I submitted my essay. The top 10 people got to meet with him, and then he interviewed us, and he picked the winner, and he chose me as the winner. So I ended up getting free training through Squared Circle in Toronto because of Edge, and then I guess you can say the rest is history from there.
That's excellent. Do you remember, like, did he happen to say, like, this is what put you over the edge? This is what, well, once again, to pardon the pun, but this is the thing. This is what he liked.
Well, I think it was, he didn't say exactly why, but I was the only one that ended up going there. Like, I was decked out. I was dressed up. Everybody, you had to say why you liked wrestling, and everybody was giving like a sob story and super quiet. And then when it came to me, I had already been training. I had already had shows, and I was super loud. It wasn't like a sob story, and so I made them laugh. So I think that helped out too.
So you essentially came in and just cut a promo.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. So, tell me just a couple more questions before we let you go here. I've heard people on the internet talk about like their wrestling Mount Rushmore, if you will. So I'm curious, who are some of the people that you are a fan of? Like if you were going to have a wrestling Mount Rushmore, not the wrestlers that are the best, but the ones that are most influential to you, who would you say?
I would say Trish Stratus for sure, Lita, and probably Beth Phoenix as well. So those would be definitely my top three if I could have a match again.
That's good company.
Or not again, if I could have a match with them.
Right.
Those would be the top three.
That's excellent company right there. as I was saying when we started, the wrestling landscape has definitely changed. As you know, even a couple years ago, the top of the mountain, of course, and to an argument, still is the WWE, but now there are a lot of options to make a living doing wrestling. What would you say at this point in your career, what is your end goal? Like, where do you want to end up? Is it still, you know, let's make it to Monday Night Raw or Tuesday SmackDown? Or do you have other things that you look at nowadays that you think that seems more appealing?
I really enjoy the AEW product, so they are definitely up there. But I think it's every wrestler's dream to make it to the WWE. So that, I think that's always going to be my end goal. I grew up watching them, and that's just, you know, that's how it is, and that's where I want to be.
For sure. We're looking forward to seeing you in Livonia, Michigan at the Mohegan Knights of Columbus Hall this Saturday for Shine 60. Like I said, you can go to WWNLive.com to check out tickets. I believe you guys are also going to be streaming and on demand.
Yes, yeah, on iPay-Per-View. So WWN Live will have all of that information as well.
Excellent. So yeah, if you're not in the in the Motor City area, but you still want to catch this, you can on WWN Live. Leah, congratulations on coming back to the ring. We're looking forward to seeing you this Saturday. Best of luck against Lindsay. Like I said, she looks scary.
But you said, scarier.
All right. Well, we'll have to see this Saturday. Thank you, Leah. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
We're back with more Nerd Radio.
Roger me, we'll call me anything. Hello, hello, Earth.
And now, back to the nerds.
All right, we're back with a little bit more Nerd Radio for you on the podcast page, WRAF.com, on Boston...
Rock 929rocks.com.
Thank you very much. And James, we're on the Twitch stream on Wednesdays?
Yes, twitch.tv/checkpointxp.
I like that you guys... I like that I can point to you guys and you have jobs now.
Yeah.
It feels
yeah.
weird. I'm like, oh no.
I know.
What if I forget my line?
And then
we got Joe sitting in here. I'm like, what if I botch up the website yeah. right. address for the channel that he works on?
Well, I'm fairly certain I've seen Nate in the chat already, and Joe is joining us yeah. from yeah. Checkpoint XP. So I'm fairly certain they've been watching ever since we hit their Twitch stream just to see what they're
yeah, into. They're very concerned. Yeah, right. Yeah, just, very concerned.
Just, you know.
And gotta, Nate's gotta like, where's my cat?
Yeah, you know, we just got to see what we're getting ourselves into. It's fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think you guys done a great job, honestly. So.
Well, we appreciate that you guys are letting us drive mom and dad's Ferrari, as we like to put it.
As soon as we leave, they're like, we got to have a meeting about these.
Yeah.
We're going to come up here next week and the door's going to be locked. All right, guys, ready? Clong.
How can we gently put to them that they are no longer welcome?
Well,
man, you know how nice it is to have content on this channel that we don't have to plan, edit, and perform?
We don't plan any of
sure.
this.
Sure.
Sure. Hey, whatever. You know we don't plan half the stuff we do. It's cool.
And only Chuck edits.
You know what? That's how Nerd Radio came into being anyways. It was content that the person involved did not have to plan, edit, or perform.
There you
They're
go.
Like,
yeah.
Sure. There is. Sure. Go ahead. So that's how I've gotten 5 years of Nerd Radio out of doing it.
Yeah. I can't believe you've been doing it for 5 years.
It's got to be at least 5 years. I was just thinking because National Radio Day was yesterday, so we're, you know, everybody's posting on social media and stuff like that, and I always have to go back. I went to Specs in 2011, so my internship was the summer of 2011. So I've been here about 8 years. I've been on the air. I think yeah, Nerd Radio was literally about 5 years ago.
It's crazy how many people in this building went to Specs, by the way.
Because
like if you mention it, like I'm like, oh yeah, I was in Specs 2014. You like three people like pop out of marketing, like oh yeah, I was there.
Oh yeah,
I think I hear you reading spots for Specs. I think
I did read a spot for Specs just the other day.
Yeah, commercials in the morning.
2006 over here.
Yeah, there you go.
2014.
There you go. So I'm the odd man out.
Yeah.
You went
Wayne
to
State
college.
University, man. Wayne State University. I got a degree in how to use a video camera.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I dropped out of college before I went to Specs. So, I mean, does that count?
Yeah, no, same here.
Yeah. Oh, man. My parents were thrilled after 7 years at U of M where I was like, you know what?
No.
I know I'm only like 10 credits away from graduating, but
Yeah. You know what else doesn't drop out is the debt.
No, it does not.
No, it doesn't. I'm still remembering that to this day.
Yep.
Follows you around a little bit.
Yeah. Well, You almost completed college. You did, and we just went to talking school.
Yep, talking school.
Talking school.
I wonder if Specs Howard let us call it talking school.
I don't know. I do.
See, I didn't even go for radio. I tried to go for it. I wanted to do the broadcast program, and literally the person there was like, why?
They do. There's a guy at Specs Howard that lets you know. It's like, there is no money in radio.
So they got me put in the digital media arts program, and I've come to find out later that I was the one who got it over being enough people in the class to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so you didn't actually have a problem with the broadcast media program. You just needed to get the digital media arts program running. Got it.
I'll be honest. So whenever somebody tells me that they want to get into radio, it ends up being like the scene from Billy Madison with the fat kid. I can't wait to go to high school. He grabs him. I'm like, stay here. Stay as long as you can.
Squeezing those chubby cheeks.
It's like, what are you thinking now?
Well, speaking about debt, let's talk about...
Speaking of debt!
Let's talk about some
Welcome to
radio. I told you guys right after San Diego Comic-Con that they Hasbro is wanting to release a Unicron, the giant planet from Transformers that transforms into a giant, like, 2-foot dude. They're doing it as part of their HasLab program where you have to, it's like a Kickstarter. Enough people have to contribute enough money, and then they will make this thing.
How many dollars did you Kickstart them?
Nothing, because this 2-foot dude is about $575.
Oh, my gosh.
Way out of my price range. Looks amazing. I'll never own one. But they needed 8,000 backers, and they are 10 days away, and they have 2,800. I don't think Unicron's getting made.
No, I don't think so. I mean, listen, man, a 2-foot Unicron, when I was a kid, I had the little, like, 6-inch Dinobot, and I couldn't transform that thing. Who on earth is going to be able to do the 2-foot Unicron?
Yeah, no, you definitely hit a kind of a point of diminishing returns with Transformers, where, like, when they made the movie, and they made all the movie guys that had to look exactly like they did in the movie, and then also, like, exactly like the car that they're supposed to be, like, those things took a half an hour to figure out. And that's coming from somebody who has a lot of these stupid things.
It's a goddamn Rubik's Cube?
Yeah. No, it's essentially, that's the joy of the toy.
That's really what a Transformer is. It's Rubik's Cube that can, like, save the day.
It's a 3D puzzle.
It's like the worst hero ever.
Wasn't there a Rubik's Cube cartoon back in the 90s?
I hope not.
I swear there was.
I grew up watching cartoons in the 90s, and I saw a lot of hot garbage, but I don't remember that.
No, this was an 80s thing. Okay, hold on. I'm Googling this. Rubik's Cube cartoon.
Chuck's on the Google machine.
Cartoon.
What is that buzzing?
I don't know. I hear it too. I thought it was just my headphones.
No, I turned mine down because it was so loud.
I hope I didn't break something. I'm slamming my hands down.
I got nothing. Yes, Rubik the Amazing Cube.
I unplugged cartoon. Those because I assumed they were somebody's that I didn't want to get my ear sweat on them.
Yeah, I know. I did the same thing over here.
All right, hold on. Here you go.
The buzzing has gone away.
It's lighter.
This is a low res video of Rubik the Amazing Cube.
Oh, I kind of thought you were kidding.
Nope.
Wonder how many copyright violations were.
He's got a little face. You have to finish the cube, and then he comes alive.
Oh my God!
Now he's
he poops on you, and you shoot up in the air.
He said, "My name is Rubik." There you go. I knew I remembered that properly.
I'm not gonna lie, I would probably watch that
at least once.
I'm in the right state of mind to get my drift.
At least once, yeah. Just to check it out.
Yeah,
man, what a rabbit hole we gone down with Rubik the Amazing Cube. Yeah, so. Long story short, I don't think anybody's going to be getting a Unicron at those prices.
Mm. I mean, at what price would you be willing to get a Unicron?
Well, okay, they over the last, I don't know, like 4 or 5 years, they'll release a big guy every year for about $150. Like, they've got Devastator, the construction vehicles that turn into a big dude. They've got the Autobot City and the Decepticon City, Metroplex and Trypticon, and they release at about $150. However, I know especially...
Damn, you guys know a lot of Transformers characters. I know Optimus Prime and Bumblebee. You guys, like, all these... All Idiocron and Supercron and Microcron and...
We get it. You watch the Michael Bay movies. We get it.
Yeah, exactly.
But Trypticons, actually, there's that Ollie's, that, like, discount retail store, or something like that.
It's like a Five Below.
You can get Trypticons at Ollie's for about $50. Like, they made too many of them.
Yeah.
So it's... You know, it's a thing. It's toys are expensive as hell now.
Listen, I've bought some stupid crap over the years for more money than I probably should have spent on it. Like, I had one for a long time, like the Lego Millennium Falcon.
Oh yeah,
that thing was expensive as hell.
Yeah,
did you put it all together?
Oh, of course I did.
How long did it take?
A summer.
Yeah.
Oh, for man. Sure.
Like, it was a, it
how
was
I
like,
spent my summer vacation.
Yeah, yep. It was like every rainy day over the summer, it was like, okay, time to work on the Millennium Falcon. Like, that was growing up in the 90s, basically.
Yeah, because that book is like this thick. It's just ridiculous.
Oh, it's horrific, yeah.
I like the idea of doing one of those big Lego projects, but I know I would never see it through. So.
Right.
Yeah, you fall in love with the concept of it, not so much actually. Yeah,
like, I'll walk by it. And go like, oh, well, that's a reasonable price, which yeah. it's not.
Yeah.
But I know. It's the same thing that kept me from buying a uniform at the Star Trek convention.
Right.
I really want a uniform, but I'm like, I would never wear this, not even to a convention.
Well, and that's like the Michigan Comic Con was over the weekend. And yeah. There's always stuff you see at a convention. There's convention prices and there's actual price. And there's stuff you see is like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's a better deal. Like, I did see some Transformers there that at the moment are out of my price range, but are on my want list that I was like, oh, man, it's only $100 instead of $150, but right. I can't afford that today.
A savings of $50.
Right.
That's why I bought my Big D. It was a better
That's
price.
True. Yeah, for
it
sure.
A cheap D.
You got the Big D at a bargain price. Huh?
I did.
You got a bargain price, Big D.
That's right.
That's how you got to get them, I
Got
to
bargain that D.
Speaking of Star Trek, you were telling me that you went to the Henry Ford.
I did.
And checked
yeah.
out that the Star Trek thing that they've got going on there.
Yeah, they got the exhibit there at the Henry Ford here. And it's only got like another week left, unfortunately. But that's the thing. I was running out of time. It was there all summer.
Right.
And I went. And it was cool. I mean, there was a lot of uniforms on display. They had, you know, like a miniature bridge for the original series. They had a section of Jeffrey's tube that you could crawl through if you wanted to.
That's cool.
But they also
YouTube, Jeffrey's tube?
Jeffrey's tube. Yeah, pretty much. That's basically their just duct system that they crawl through on the ship. But they also had, like, filming models. So, like, they had the biggest D there, and it was pretty cool. And it's so funny when you look
Incorrect.
At it.
Correct. The biggest D's in my pants.
Boom. James,
Back
everybody.
Down.
Please tell me you cut to yourself.
Absolutely, I cut to myself.
He thought of the joke. He knew what the cut would needed to
That's
be.
That's why the delay before the joke was. That's why I was like, incorrect. Let me time this out to make sure the camera's on me. Yeah, okay, looking good. The Big D's in my pants, Al.
Joe, are you feeling any regrets yet about this whole Twitch situation?
You got to understand the history that I come from with performing on Twitch. This is far... From like the like we had a bit that we did that ended up like with me like tearing like wax strips off my thighs.
Ooh,
yeah, that's a bit we did on air at one point.
Yeah.
This is nothing new.
All right, well,
I'm gonna introduce you to my friend Chris sometime. Who literally, if we told him we want you to come back, but you're not allowed to make dick jokes anymore. Like, he would literally just flip us off and walk away.
Yeah, he's got nothing then.
It's like, okay, well, I can't perform that.
That's
I can't. Well, that's unfortunate.
No dick jokes, can't perform.
Yeah.
Can't perform without your D.
But
Henry Ford Museum.
Henry Ford.
Star Trek.
The classy and wonderful Henry right. Ford. But no, like, what was really cool about the filming models was when you're kind of standing there looking at it, you know, it looks like... It's just like really, I don't know, it's somehow lacking. I mean, it's like, it's the size is wonderful. It's a nice big D. But like,
just the way I like some.
Just the way it's painted and everything else is like, you're like, I don't know. But then I look back at the pictures I took of it and it looks like you would expect
yes.
from TV. So it's just kind of funny how, I mean, like they obviously know they've got a lot of experience how to, you know, how it will show up on camera differently than standing in front of it.
Right.
But they had a Borg cube. Filming model.
Oh, neat.
From First Contact, which was really cool because that was super detailed, like all the little grooves and stuff in it. No, it was a cool exhibit.
What's a Borg look like?
A Borg, those are the like half human, half, they got all the
cyborg people.
The cyborg yeah. people.
Gotcha, yeah. gotcha.
So,
And then you posted a picture of they have an original Game Boy, you know? In a display.
Yeah. I know, I did. I was kind of saying about the convention in Vegas. If you're only a casual fan of Star Trek, it might not be worth your time. You know, I think, Chuck, you are just
enough.
Just enough that you probably would enjoy the convention.
Right.
But even that, it's like, I don't know, you got to fly out there and get a hotel and all that stuff. I don't know. But at least this, you've got the rest of the Henry Ford. You can go walk through and look at, you know, giant steam engine trains and whatever else. And they had, like, a through the decades. You could walk through the decades, and which was really cool to go through there. But then you get to, like, the 80s, the 90s. And I looked at a Game Boy.
Oh, I don't like that.
I know. I was like, no. I was like, a Game Boy is a museum piece.
Yeah, I don't like anything that I used as a child being in a museum now. Yeah. I don't like
Son
that.
Son of a bitch.
Does the Henry Ford weird you out at all? Like when you like go through and you're like, oh, and this is the chair that Lincoln was assassinated in. You're like, why can I still see the blood stain? The theater didn't think to clean that.
Right. It's historical.
I guess. I'm just saying you could have cleaned it and then like drawn the stain back in with wine, and I don't think anyone would complain.
Because like back
maybe they did.
The president died in this chair. This is going to be like a national like relic. We should just leave it intact, not clean it. Because I feel like back then they're still all about profit. This is an open seat in the theater. We still got to sell tickets.
Right, yeah, exactly. Someone's going to want to
sell tickets. We can double the ticket price. Sit in the chair that Lincoln died in.
Dude,
you know Hamilton's here next week.
Dude, I'd have been an awful employee back then because that would have just been like, oh, God, the president. I'm going to have to clean that.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I don't know if that makes me a bad employee.
Somebody killed the president again?
Yeah, sorry. I'd be a great employee and a terrible American.
right. Because you would clean it. You'd just be like, ugh.
Like what most people these days.
Man, this is so inconvenient to me.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if this is sensitive information, Joe. How old are you?
30.
30? Okay. Then I've only got a decade on you because I was like, if you're upset about a Game Boy being in a museum piece, boy, have I got news for you.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I got a Game Boy when I was 4.
Yeah.
That was good times. Yeah. Apparently, I was a wuss about getting my shots, and my mom's like, if you'll just shut up and get your shots, I'll get you a Game Boy.
That's a good exchange.
Apparently, I whined. That is a pretty good exchange. I whined just enough, apparently.
Yeah.
If you want to live and get this immunization, hey,
if you want to
give you a Game Boy.
Yeah, but when you're 4, you don't really understand the idea of, like, hey, how do you feel about whooping cough?
Right. That's true.
It's funny because for me, all I got was like an ice cream or like a trip to Red Lobster.
Wait, you were big on Red Lobster when you were 4?
Oh, yeah, I believe so. 4? I don't know.
They've had cheddar biscuits the whole time. So
No, they used to just be like Texas toast. I remember the Texas toast days. And I distinctly remember the transition from Texas toast to Cheddar Bay biscuits.
It was a big moment in James' life.
It was very
formative.
It was mind-blowing, the change of how delicious you go from Texas toast to Cheddar Bay biscuits.
We had a bit we did a while back where we were doing a podcast and we had nothing to talk about. Like, we could not find anything gaming related.
Welcome to Nerd Radio.
Yeah. Well, so we're trying to figure out, like, we're like an hour before the show. We're like, damn, what do we talk about? And we see an article that is going through how to appropriately, like, gorge yourself on Cheddar Bay biscuits. Like, how to, like, get the most out of all you can eat at Red Lobster.
This is really like Kobayashi or something?
So we did an entire hour-long podcast literally just reading through and making fun of this article, and then we found out that Robbie never had Cheddar Bay biscuits before, and
Robbie,
that was upsetting. Like, I feel like
I have never had them.
What? How have you not had Cheddar Bay biscuits, Al?
Is this a specific Red Lobster thing?
Yeah.
Then that would be why. I don't like seafood.
Then go eat Cheddar Bay biscuits. Well, don't eat the seafood.
I've never even met a Red Lobster.
Unfortunately, as someone who is lactose intolerant, I also have never... had the ambrosia of Cheddar Bay biscuits, but I love Red Lobster.
Lactose intolerance has to be the most ignored medical condition on the planet. You're telling me you've never, like, just gone for it?
No, not for Cheddar Bay biscuits.
I like that, though. The most ignored medical
condition. I have decided. There have been days where it's like, well, I already feel like crap. This pizza is, like, either going to kill me or be worth it.
Like, and either way, it's worthwhile.
The hell with it.
Like, oh, yeah, pretty much just came out and said, so have you ever just pooped your pants?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
the answer is yes.
We run a classy show here. I do like the idea of being intolerant. Like, just not accepting it. Like,
right.
No, I don't tolerate my lactose intolerance.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
You know what? That's garbage is what that is.
Right.
If I drink enough milk, my body...
It's not gluten!
Exactly. My body will either kill me or it'll get over it. And either way, I'm going to have my milk.
Or I'll be on the bathroom floor in the fetal position wishing I was dead.
You're saying the same thing about drinking bleach. This might kill me. If I had just a small enough
maybe
amount.
I don't know.
If we fill a Tide Pod with ice cream and give it to them,
we won't know what killed them. Either way, Chuck is dead.
Similar to that, a Tide Pod filled with ice cream.
Yeah.
That's how he sings. I think it's like a Japanese ice cream.
Yeah,
you can get at Kroger.
Well,
and they're like me. They start with an M.
And it has bleach.
Exactly.
In it?
Well, no, this it's an actual like dessert. But
it's
when you
mochi.
Said a Tide Pod filled mochi,
yeah.
Okay.
Mochi is just ice cream in Japan.
I've always described it as like an ice cream pierogi, but
that's
I like
pretty much
the Tide
what it
Pod
is.
Description better.
Yeah. No, yeah. Well, I'll say yours is safer. I think Mochi would be definitely a safer thing for him to try than a Tide Pod filled
for
with ice cream.
Well, at the end of the day, if you force feed ice cream to Chuck here, it's going to be your job, Joe, to clean that chair before it gets submitted to the Smithsonian.
Does that count as assault?
As the
if you make a lactose intolerant person eat like ice cream, is that assault?
I guess it depends on how you make them eat it.
That's fair.
If it's like roofying the lactose intolerant person, then there's legal action that can be taken. For sure.
What is the? What way am I allowed to force you to eat?
I'm real uncomfortable
okay
with this conversation. Like I feel like plans are being made.
I got real date rapey with the ice cream Tide Pod poison thing.
Any of you guys offer me any food I'm not familiar with, I think I'm gonna say no.
You know, while we're not regretting having like these two brands meet, I can bet that there are some higher ups in this company that are maybe like, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know about that one.
Yeah,
it's like when you have the two problem children in class and the teacher separates you. You're like, no, you guys are not sitting together again.
That's these two.
They're like, well, yeah, it's more like I think these shows combined are too powerful.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Let's keep them separated.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of a good movie.
How many viewers do we have on Twitch again, 12?
there's a couple.
That's that Twitch power of ours.
There's a couple. We've added some. It's 6, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15. We're up to 16.
Right?
I'm sure if we stick around in here, then we'll get it. We'll get real close to 20.
It's better than some of my streams when I stream on Fridays.
Yeah.
So.
So I think that's going to do it. You had the timer up, and I think that's enough for this week's Nerd Radio.
Sure.
For the podcast.
That's enough.
That's Al's way to tap out.
That's enough. So thank you, Joe, for
Absolutely.
Joining us.
Thanks,
Make sure
Joe.
You guys join him along with the rest of the Checkpoint XP guys on their Twitch stream, twitch.tp.
TP would be a different website.
It's true.
It's a less appropriate website. Yeah.
This is why that's James's job.
That's why it's James's job.
Twitch.tv/checkpointxp. You guys, you stream every day,
every
right?
day, Monday to Friday, 1 to 6. The actual Checkpoint XP daily show is from 4 to 6.
Right. And you guys all have sideshows, too. Which one is yours?
God, yeah. I do The Other Identity with Robbie, where we talk, comic culture, geek culture. We do that every Thursday. Today I know we've got Low Team Damage going on, which is an Overwatch talk show. So yeah, tons of different shows happening throughout the week.
Yep, check them out on is it checkpointxp.com?
That's the website.
Cool. And of course, follow us on social media at Nerd Radio 101, and download our podcast. Even if you watch the Twitch stream, there's some bells and whistles you didn't get to hear that you get to hear on the podcast.
Three of them. You missed three.
At least three of them. There's some DMX that goes on
sound
in there.
Effects and some music beds.
There's a little thing at the end of every show that's usually just BSing.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week with some more Nerd Radio. Thanks, everybody, for showing up. Thanks, everybody, for...
thanks for being here.
Thanks for being here. We're done. That's a show.
Yeah. Hey, stop now.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you're nerds.
Have a great weekend.
Golden Radio.
I know.
See you later, Thank nerds. You.
And we're out.
How do you feel about it?
That's fine.
Okay.
Do we have anything we need to get out? Any personal business that we don't want?
That's what the podcast is for.
Okay, well, 3, 2, 1, we're going live.
Hey. Nobody say anything. We're on the internet.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Well, nothing on the internet will ever get out.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
Now we just got to remember not to talk trash about our coworkers.
Oof. Yeah, that's going to be. Yeah.
I'm out.
Yep.
That's going to be rough.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.